pretty good news from that first reading that God promises never again to destroy the world by such a flood. Of course, then in 1 Peter, Peter tells us that the end of the world is reserved for fire. But we can look at that also as the fire of the Holy Spirit, right? The purifying fire from the Holy Spirit that cleanses us. Because there's not one of us who hasn't experienced being tempted. And sin is just twisted up good. So the temptation always contains a good, usually a great good that's very attractive to us. When I was going through seminary, we were encouraged to think about our seduction profile. What are the goods that most draw my heart or draw my eye? Don't worry, I won't go into what my seduction profile is. And we needed to be careful about the goods, those goods coming to us in various shapes and forms, but inappropriately. And the challenge is always to step back and acknowledge my legitimate desires for what is good, and then to pursue it appropriately, not inappropriately. You know, so maybe I legitimately want a bottle of scotch, Macallan single malt to be precise. It would be inappropriate to steal it, but I could save money in order to buy it, or ask for it from some very kindly, generous parishioner. There's nothing wrong with desiring respect or love or affection or comfort or care. And certainly the Lord wants us to experience those things as a loving father would. But he doesn't want us to experience them in destructive ways. Jesus also knows what it means to be tempted. Immediately after his baptism, when the Spirit descended upon him physically in a new and powerful way for him to begin his public ministry, the first thing that Spirit did was to drive him, impel him to go into the desert for 40 days. After the fall in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam was driven out of the garden into the desert, into the wild that the devil claimed for his dominion. And Jesus, the new Adam, goes to the domain of Satan, not because of his own fall from grace, but precisely to begin the redemption of our fall from grace. By fasting and prayer and the power of that Holy Spirit, he resisted mightily every temptation of our diabolical enemy. Now, we shouldn't seek out combat with evil, but when it comes to us, we have to be ready to fight with every spiritual weapon that we have. Fasting, penance, prayer, almsgiving, confession, and the Eucharist. You might say, you know, well, Jesus had angels who ministered to him. Yes. But when's the last time you called upon your guardian angel to minister to you? To help in protecting you, right? We have angelic help as well. We need to call upon that help also. In the first reading, we're told about a covenant that God made with Noah and his family after the flood. Covenant's a solemn agreement, a promise that God made with Noah and his family after the flood. And he made it with all of us. Our second reading from 1 Peter teaches that the flood was a prefigurement of baptism. By going through the flood in the ark, Noah and his family were saved from the evil of that generation. And the wood of the ark symbolizes the wood of the cross. And the water of the flood, which washed away that evil, symbolizes the water of baptism, which washes away sin. When you and I were baptized, God brought us into a new covenant, an eternal covenant made through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we sin and break that covenant, we dishonor the blood of Christ, who died to show us his love, to show us how to pursue the good, not in its sinful, twisted up way, but in the untwisted good that truly satisfies. Sometimes we can get the idea that God or the church doesn't want us to be happy. It's all about penance, the cross and self-denial and suffering. We just have to suck it up and grit our teeth and do the right thing, even if we're miserable for the rest of our lives. That sounds awful. But the Lord knows the deepest longings of your heart. He created you. And as a loving father, he wants to give that to you. In the garden, Eve couldn't wait for God to give that to her, which really means she didn't trust God to give that to her. So she grasped after it for herself, but in a twisted up way. And many, many difficult things have followed. Penance and self-denial are never the goal of the Christian life. They're a means for untwisting the lies of the devil. They're a means for resisting his temptations so that we can be ministered to by angels, so that we can experience more deeply the love of God and the love of others around us and the respect and care that we most desire. You know, the covenant of the Mosaic Law in the Old Testament stated very clearly that unless you kept all of it perfectly, then all the curses of breaking it would come upon you. Which is why the Israelites continually experienced conquering and exile. The beautiful thing about the new and eternal covenant in Christ is twofold. First, and most importantly, we're given the gift of Christ's own Holy Spirit as our necessary ally and friend. And one of the names of the Spirit is Comforter. Second, also very importantly, we're given the gift of confession and forgiveness precisely because we sin and break his covenant. We should never stop striving for perfection and never stop receiving the Lord's merciful and healing forgiveness. I think that's one of the reasons why the proclamation of Jesus, his good news in the gospel today, includes the word repent. Because our new and eternal covenant understands our weaknesses. How easy it is for us to be deceived by twisted up good and to let our longings get out of control. In the second reading, St. Peter says that Christ suffered once for sins. That doesn't mean we only have one chance for forgiveness, because his suffering once established an eternal covenant. And the value of his one-time suffering is eternal. And so the only thing that can overcome his eternal forgiveness is our refusal to repent. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. Believe in the good news that God knows the deepest longing of your heart and knows also the best way for you to receive and experience the fulfillment of that longing. Don't be like Adam and Eve. Trust him. He is trustworthy. Trust him. So here's the homework for the week. Make a list this week of the deepest desires of your heart. And ask the Lord to purify your heart. And then trust him with your heart. In fact, let us entrust him with our heart right now.